Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Haunted History. I'm your host, Megan, and every week I'm going to be taking you on a little journey through our world's haunted history. Well, it's officially spooky season, and I've got the decorations out, I've started my Halloween movie marathon, and I have to tell you about the craziest thing that happened to me the other day. So I was downstairs cleaning out my rec room, and I noticed in one of the drawers there was one of those Google Home Nest things. It's like that little device that you can talk to it and get it to do things, play music and stuff. Well, it hadn't been used in forever. It was probably down there for about 2 years, but I thought, oh, this would be really nice upstairs. I'm going to use it. So I take it, set it up in my room, and I have some music playing in there during the day while I'm cleaning. So now nighttime rolls around, and I go upstairs, and I say, hey, Google, turn off. And she does the little, like, beep, beep noise and then turns off. And I'm thinking, oh, this is really cool. This is, like, super convenient. And then as I'm in my bathroom washing my face, I hear a man's voice faintly talking. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, it must be people on the sidewalk, you know, talking loud. So I head into the bedroom and I notice that the talking is coming from the little Nest. And it must have been some kind of ad because it was talking about insurance or something. So I'm kind of creeped out and I just say loudly, Google, turn off. And then it does that little noise thing again and it shuts off. And I kind of look at it for a minute. And then I go back into the bathroom to, you know, finish getting ready, wash my face. Not even 2 minutes later, I hear the same voice and I'm like, what the heck? So I go back out and I say sternly this time, like, Google, turn off. And again, she makes this little noise and then she turns off. So at this point, I'm like, stupid thing. Why isn't this working? It's also really creepy. So I go back, start getting ready for bed, and a good like 5 to 7 minutes go by. So I've forgotten about it at this point. Then all of a sudden I hear faint talking again, except this time it's a woman's voice. So I go back and whatever it is playing on there, I don't know if it was a podcast or an ad or whatever it was, but it's this woman's voice talking. And so finally I just unplug it and I'm like, okay, this is super creepy now. I don't know what's going on, but I am not using this anymore. So I don't know if other people have experienced this with these little AI type devices where they just turn on randomly and start talking to you out of the blue, but that was enough for me. I think she's going to have to retire back to the basement. I couldn't imagine sleeping in the middle of the night and then all of a sudden that, you know, popping on with little voices going. So that did give me a decent scare, but not as much as today's story. What if I told you that there was an entire cottage industry of travel called dark tourism? Dark tourism is basically the idea that there exists a worldwide network of sightseeing that focuses on bringing tourists to creepy locations. Imagine you're paddling along a canal near Mexico City, and you're taken to a small island nestled in a lagoon. Verdant lawns, whimsical bridges made of twisted branches, Spanish moss falling in loose curls from crooked trees, from which hang the mangled bodies of endlessly eerie dolls. Yeah, you heard right. This place, called the Island of the Dolls, or La Isla de las Muñecas in Spanish, is a small island located on the Xochimilco Canal system south of Mexico City. It's one of the more popular dark tourism destinations, and today we'll find out why. This episode contains depictions of active mental illness and death. Now, the origin of this story takes us back to the mid-20th century. Don Julian Santana Barrera was a man who abruptly left his wife and children and self-exiled on a small island in Tezhula Lake. Some say his family later joined him. Regardless, his sudden departure from his life was unprompted and unexpected by all accounts. The recluse became the caretaker of the Island of the Dolls. Now, the reasons for Don Julian's self-imposed exile aren't clear, but it does give us a clue as to his state of mind. One day, and this was not long after first arriving on the island, Don Julian was by the canal when he spotted the body of a young girl floating before him. Some say that the girl was already dead. Others indicate the Barrera tried and failed to save her. After having spotted her getting carried away by the current while she was playing along the banks of the canal with her sisters. Ultimately, Don Julian is said to have buried her body on his island. Legend has it, the very next day, Don Julian saw a doll floating in the canal at the very same spot that he had found the young girl. Don Julian, who believed that the doll must have belonged to her, scooped it up and tied it to a nearby tree. He thought that doing so would ward off evil demons that were present in the water and also honor her memory. Some sources also say that Don Julian meant to protect himself by appeasing her spirit. The common narrative is that the girl's spirit began haunting the island, and that in order to appease it, Don Julian began collecting dolls and stringing them up on the island's trees. He's quoted as saying that the dolls would whisper to him and change trees on the island. The dolls didn't just keep washing ashore, though. No. See, Don Julian would trade trash that he scavenged, as well as vegetables from his garden, for more dolls. So we should mention here that Don Julian's family thinks that he imagined the whole dead girl in the water part of this story. There has never been any solid evidence presented to prove the existence of the young girl that Don Julian saw that day. The dolls, however, the dolls were very real. For the next 50 years, Don Julian took it upon himself to collect an endless stream of dolls. His family would later say that it's as though he was driven by a force more powerful than himself. Some were fragmented with parts of their limbs missing. It didn't matter. Don Julian, who by now thought of himself as the steward of the island and the person responsible for defending it from evil spirits, fell into a dark obsession. Described by locals as a colorful character, he was given many nicknames, such as Lord of the Dolls of Xochimilco or La Coquita. Don Julian was noted as a diminutive figure. His story, however, ended up being larger than life. He would devote the rest of his life to the task of defending the island. The director of the Xochimilco archives, a man named Professor Sebastian Flores Farfan, is known to have chronicled the details of Don Julian's life. He was a dear friend of Don Julian's and the son of the owner of the local pub that was often frequented by Don Julian. His translated account is our main source material for today. He detailed how, for example, when Don Julian walked to the market with his wheelbarrow full of vegetables, he would wear a jorongo, which is a brightly colored shawl typically worn by Mexican men, but he would accessorize with out-of-pocket touches, such as wearing his underwear on top of his pants. After the market, Don Julian would amble on to the local pub where he would quietly nurse a pulque, a milky syrupy alcoholic beverage made from the fermented sap of the maguey plant. Following this, he would walk around the neighborhood, proselytizing the word of God. Clearly, Don Julian was a complex man who brought up complex feelings in the people of Xochimilco. For example, it was generally frowned upon for the layperson to speak about the word of God if they were not members of the clergy. For this reason, he would sometimes anger the townsfolk. Some reports say that he was even beaten for sharing his beliefs out loud. It wouldn't be hard to believe that this most likely contributed to his later reclusive nature. The island where Don Julian lived was actually a one-acre swath of land called a chunampa. A chunampa is a floating island in a body of fresh water that's man-made for agricultural purposes. It was invented during the Aztec period. Don Julian's home on the chunampa was actually a hut built of chinami reeds, ahuajote branches, and zacatón, all plants native to Mexico. Don Julian was described by locals as being a hermit. He never had any guests, and folks were not keen to visit him. Well, in the beginning. In the 90s, there was an ecological initiative undertaken on Lake Tasula due to an invasion of water lilies. As more people, such as conservation officers, began boating around the area, Don Julian's Chinampa began to gain some notoriety. Everyone began talking about the little floating island among the water lilies, with the hanging dolls, as far as the eye could see, dangling from every tree branch. News traveled fast, and soon journalists began folding into the fray. One of the few people who were allowed to chronicle Don Julian's life was the son of the pub owner that I talked about earlier. Because of him, we now know the details that would have only stayed local. Professor Farfan says that when asked about the dolls, Don Julian stayed rather elusive, only stating that they were to ward off evil spirits and to help him produce bountiful crops. It's also been said that shortly after finding the girl's body, Don Julian's crops all failed. Feeling that the girl's spirit was responsible, he grew scared and somewhat paranoid, as nothing he did to remedy the situation made a difference. What's more, he said that the dolls appeared out of nowhere and that they accompanied him at night. He was also reported as saying that he often heard footsteps, crying, and wails near his hut, even though his home was incredibly isolated and miles from any neighbor. Don Julian's compound area had three little huts. In his account, Professor Farfan describes one of them as filled with racks of drying mielitas, or corn tortillas. Another was plastered with newspaper clippings from various articles that were springing up about the Lord of the Dolls. And there were also rough-hewn crosses on the walls, which combined added a sense of dreariness. Don Julian's kitchen was outdoors, and you could often find carp fished out from the lake drying on the racks there. Don Julian was cared for by his sister and his nephew, Anastasio Velasco, nicknamed El Chape. El Chape was in charge of bringing his uncle food every day and would occasionally take Don Julian's produce to the market for him as well. One day in 2001, El Chape and Don Julian were both getting their day started as usual. One of the things on the docket was the preparation of pumpkin seedlings. To do so, they used a mixture of mud from the bottom of the canal mixed with water lily compost. After having dried the mixture for 3 days, it was then cut into cubes and a single seed was placed at the center, ready for planting. The morning passed by languidly and in a haze of domesticity. After finishing this chore, Don Julian went unceremoniously to the shore, where he began fishing for carp. Don Julian called his nephew over. He told him that a mermaid was beckoning to him, that she wanted to take him away. He told his nephew that he would sing to the mermaid to appease her. His nephew chuckled and told his uncle that he was just going to run out back really quick and go milk the cows. He said that he would be back soon, and he walked away, stealing a glance at La Coquita, the diminutive man on the shores of his floating island. He was singing to no one. Having milked the cows, El Chapo shortly made his way back to the banks as promised. It was there that he saw it. His uncle, the Lord of the Island of the Dolls, was floating face down in the water, in the very spot that he had spotted the drowned young girls so many years ago. The Island of the Dolls is steeped in legend. Its mystical allure is no doubt reinforced by the nebulous nature of Don Julian's life. After his death, however, the island's lore grew, as it went from local legend to tourist attraction. In order to get there, you can book a special, colorful ferry from Mexico City. It's said that in order to get to the island, you must ask to be taken there specifically, as ferrymen will not go routinely. Some say that the dolls call to them, beckoning them to shore, or try to possess them if they get too close. Historically, the area where the Island of the Dolls is located is also steeped in flight and fright. When the Spanish conquistadors were marching on South America, many people would hide in the waterways of Xochimilco. As it were, women would often take their own lives rather than be raped and killed by Spanish soldiers. There was also a time where the canals were used by Mexican revolutionaries, who ended up being drowned or killed. The land is caked in historically violent energy. So what's the draw? Well, if you were to walk the island, you would see a haphazard display of derelict and decaying dolls, from Barbies to body parts hung from tree branches. Don Julian's favorite dolls, including the first one, are displayed in a mock shrine in a shed on his property. Locals have said that the dolls' gaze will follow you wherever you roam, and that they move their heads and limbs. Many tourists will add to this macabre collection by leaving dolls on the island as a token of good faith. The island is now home to thousands of dolls. In 1987, Xochimilco was declared a World Heritage Site, which facilitated the uptick in tourism in the area. Although the legend persists, there are some glaring inconsistencies or questionable facts surrounding this tale, as most hauntings usually go. For one, the young girl's body has never been found. Don Julian's family thinks that part of her story was entirely fabricated by him, and the lack of evidence would support that. However, one could also argue that Don Julian's unhinged behavior could also be stemming from the unchecked grief and guilt of not being able to save the young girl from the canal. It was truly as though he felt a compulsion to procure dolls, leading some to believe that Don Julian himself was possessed by the spirit of the young girl. One thing the family notes, though, is how Don Julian was changed by the island. And in fact, if you think about it, it's almost as though the island beckoned him. He did, after all, leave his family for no reported reason and chose a life of isolation. One can easily imagine that his spirit has also joined the ranks of the unseen presences that haunt the little Chinampa. The Island of the Dolls is still maintained by Don Julian's relatives. About the island these days, Don Julian's great-nephew, Rogelio Sanchez Santana, has said that at night, you can still hear the girls crying and the sound of his uncle's cane thumping on the ground. Well, that's it for me today. I'll see you next Tuesday for another episode of Haunted History.